Well, greetings. Here we are again, 1:15 on Tuesday, and so sorry about getting my video posted yesterday. I thought it was posted. I had nothing but problems with sermon audio. I did that on Sunday, and then set to post it, and worked on it for like 6 hours. Never did post, and then turned around and put another 2 hours on Monday morning. Finally thought it was ready, and it didn't. And so then I had to go back Monday afternoon, finish it in the process. So sorry about that. Hopefully we can get everything ironed out this week, and the internet speeds will work and all that kind of stuff. But so we did go. I did take Cindy yesterday and got her scans. And so it was like a 4-hour ordeal. And so we'll be going to the oncologist on Thursday, and we appreciate your prayers for that. We're looking forward to what the Lord has for us, and we just want to walk where He wants us to walk. It'd be great if she's totally cancer-free, but we'll just have to wait and see. All right, so we're talking about due order, and we use the verses out of 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 through 13, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, that we sought him not after due order. And it's kind of an interesting term that we find in the Bible, due order. And yet when we think about it, you know, life is about order, and the things done for the Lord have an order to them. It's not like we're going to jump ahead and all of a sudden be a super Christian. You have to read your Bible, and you have to pray. You have to spend time with God. That's the only way growth really comes. And so we're going to be thinking along that line of due order. People get things out of order all the time. They put things ahead of God. They put things ahead of the kingdom of God. They put the temporary ahead of the eternal. They create themselves a lot of heartache. Why? Because they're not operating after due order. Their lives are not prioritized. They don't do the first things first. You know, your first job is to correct your own faults. Then you can help someone else with theirs. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3 says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be meted to you again. And so we have a responsibility to judge ourselves. And I've watched through the years, seen Christians that have judged others, and they've not waited on the Lord, and they've not examined themselves first, and it always comes back on the backside to create problems for them. The word judgment in verse 1 is the word kinro, and it does not mean that I'm not supposed to discern the difference between good and evil, or that I'm unqualified to decide if someone's doing right or wrong. The word judgment here is what God is going to do at the great white throne judgment. It's a word of condemnation. Jesus said, don't set in condemnation of everyone. Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He said, here you are, looking at someone else, judging them. You have more wrong with you than they have with them. They are weak in that area, and you're strong. And he's strong in 14 areas that you're weak in. You're measuring him by your one strength and hurling condemnation on him because he is weak in one area in which you are strong. So how will thou, thy brother, say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. So Jesus said, you're a hypocrite if you try to correct what's wrong with someone else. You're trying not to correct what's wrong with you. You know, I think we always all want to be careful about, you know, correcting others. We need to really take a good look at ourselves. Someone told me years ago, you know, when you point the finger, you've got to remember you've got all these fingers pointing back at you. And so, not that there's times that we don't need to be a help, and not that there's times that we don't need to say a word to help someone or to, you know, help someone see error, what they're doing. But we got to be careful if that becomes our regular way of operation, that we feel like we're perfect and that everyone else is failing, because that's not true. The word beam is speaking of a large root. A moat is a tiny straw or splinter of wood or something that might blow into your eye in the wind. Jesus said, here you are with this big root sticking out of your head, and you're trying to get a piece of fuzz out of someone else's eye. You'll beat them to death with the root that's sticking out of your own eye. That's where a lot of people are. You know, they got this big glaring problem to everyone else, and yet, you know, they're hurting someone else trying to help them. And so we need to take care of our own selves first. We need to make sure that we are right with God. You know, I like what Solomon said. He said, they make me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. He said that they put me over the vineyard to watch over all the vines, but I haven't taken care of my own vineyard. That pretty well describes what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. We try to take care of everyone else's problems. We sit in judgment of everyone else. We have more wrong with us than they have with them. But we don't deal with our problems. We criticize other people while we ignore our own problems. Jesus said the first thing I need to do is get the big root out of my eye, and then to help to get the speck out of someone else's. I need to always examine myself and always be seeking to keep my life clean and pure before the Lord. In Matthew 7:6, it's pretty evident that God doesn't mean that we're not to have discernment. It says, you know, everybody kind of jumps to this verse, judge not that ye be not judged. And, you know, that was a big deal several years ago. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You know, it's not necessarily about judgment as much as it is fruit inspection, you know. They don't understand that the word for judgment there means condemnation. But in verse 6, Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. That means I have to be able to determine what's a dog and what's holy. Neither cast your pearls before swine. I have to be able to figure out what's a swine and what's a pearl. I have to know what's holy. I have to know what's valuable. What's a pearl? I need discernment. It doesn't mean that I don't know a dog when I see one. A dog is a dog. I don't make him a dog. I just saw that he was a dog, or a hog, a hog. If it's a hog or a dog, I'm supposed to have enough discernment to know it, to see it, to be concerned about it, to draw attention to it, and need to be attentive to it. I don't have to condemn it for being a hog, but I'm not supposed to cast my pearls in front of it. I'm not to put what's valuable out there for it to trample underfoot and turn again and rend me. That word rend means to tear with the tusk. And, you know, if you've ever watched any hog hunting programs or anything like that, one of the great fears that guys have when they're hunting with, like, bows and arrows, and even some guns, is one of the fears they have is that those hogs will turn on them, and they can really tear a man up. They can even kill him. And so they have to be on edge. Jesus said, if you cast your pearls before swine, they'll just trample them down into the quagmire. Then they'll turn around after you and cast your pearls out there and tear you with their tusk. You won't do them any good, and they'll do you evil. And so, you know, you have to be leery of and watchful and careful about who you decide to help. I do have discernment. God does expect me to have discernment. But he's saying, correct what's wrong with you first, then try to correct what's wrong with other people. Take care of your own backyard. Keep your vineyard dressed. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter had his own problems right then. Jesus said, I have something for you to do. I have given you a position of leadership. The first thing I want you to do is to get yourself straightened out and to get your problems corrected, then strengthen the brethren. Binding comes first, loosening comes second. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 29, the Bible says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Jesus was talking about binding the strong man, the devil. He was talking about spoiling his house. He was talking about us binding the devil, rendering him helpless, and then entering in and getting those in his strongholds out and bring them into the family of God by getting them saved. The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything ye shall ask for, that he will do. And so that's how you go about it. Prayer is asking. It's the weapon of prayer. That is in view here. God tells me that if I'm going to loose anybody, if I'm going to have any success, I must first bind the devil in prayer. And then I can go out and take the gospel, and with the word of God, I can loose those he's held captive. I can bring them out of his stronghold and add them to God's household. That's what soul winning does. And I think it's always important before going out to win souls, or sometimes when God's spoken to my heart about leaving a track or handing a track to somebody, to always pray about it. Lord, I want you to go before what happens here today. I want you to bind the devil. I want these people to have open hearts and open minds that they might come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And those will help the conversations that you have with others in winning them to the Lord. And I think it's even important if we're going to leave a track on a table after we've eaten a meal, to even just say a small prayer. God bless this track and use it in the lives and the hearts of those who will touch it, and that it may be an impact that they might come to know you. We have folks trying to get the job done that they have never bound the strong man. They're trying to loose before they bind. God said here it's a due order of spiritual warfare. He said, if you do it my way, it works. If you bind the strong man first, then you'll be able to loose the captives. If you take care of the authority and bind the authority that holds them captive first, then you'll have liberty to release them. On the day of Pentecost, they did things after due order. They had 10 days of prayer, binding the strong man. When they hit the streets, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 were baptized. Why? They did their binding first, their loosening later. They had it in a proper order. They did it in due order. They asked for God to bless. They asked for God to bind the strong man. Then they went out and sowed and reaped the harvest all at once, seeing those 3,000 saved and then baptized. We need to be busy loosing people with the gospel of Christ, setting them free from the bondage of sin and the fear of death. But we first have to bind the strong man if we're going to be effective. So cleansing has a due order. I'm supposed to cleanse the inside first, then the outside. In most cases, if I cleanse the inside, the outside will take care of itself. In Matthew 23:25-26, Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but wherein they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse thou that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. He said, you go ahead and dress sin up real pretty, but it's still sin. You can have a wicked heart and put the right clothes on, but you still have a wicked heart. You can put the right clothes on, go to church, still have a wicked heart. You can have wicked and ugly motives and clothe them in fair speech, but it's still wicked and ungodly. A lot of people look good on the outside, but they're wicked on the inside. The first thing you need to tend to is the cleaning of your heart. It's right to dress right, but to dress right with a wicked heart is of no avail. It's right to cut your hair right, but to cut your hair right when your heart is wrong is to no avail. It's right to go through the motions of serving God, but if your motive and your heart is wrong, it's no avail. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees constantly for going through the right motions, but they were unclean on the inside. The Pharisees were more concerned about what man thought than what God knew. You need to be more concerned about reality than perception. We worry more about how we are perceived by man than how we really are before God. We have to change that. I want to be a good testimony to men, but I don't want to be hypocritical with my testimony. I want to be right with God on the inside. I want to be right with God on the inside to show, and I want it to show up on the outside. I don't want men to perceive me as something I'm not and to have God know that I'm a hypocrite. So we'll wrap it up here today. Come back tomorrow and pick it up along these thoughts. Gives you something to think about today and even tonight. Now, this is something that I dealt with years ago. I was going through motions of Christianity, but my heart really hadn't conformed and changed. And so it's been something I've been working on for years. I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Christ from the inside out rather than the outside in. And I'm afraid sometimes that, you know, we can come up with, well, these people expect this and those people expect that. And if I do this, I'll be perceived this way. And if I do that, I'll be perceived that way. When in reality, none of that matters. What matters is what is the heart? What is the heart? Is it focused upon Christ? Is it something that brings honor and glory to Him? I hope and pray that this has been a blessing today. I hope and pray that you'll use it and that you might draw closer to the Lord. I want you to know we love you. God bless you. Have a great day. Goodbye.